A big hello to everyone joining today, and welcome to this episode of FinTech Unleashed 10 and 10. I'm Virginia Habern, Director of Research, Insights, and Advocacy at Engage FI, and in 10 minutes, I'm diving into 10 headlines that hit the news in the world of financial services in April of 2024. I'll offer my thoughts on what's going on behind the headlines and what it all means to banks, credit unions, and fintechs. First up, first quarter earnings. They are coming in for banks and credit unions, and they continue to reveal weaknesses, especially in credit card lending and commercial real estate lending for some financial institutions. And I say that with purpose because amid some of the blanket statements that you see in the news about commercial real estate being in the dumps, it's really important to remember that there are plenty of banks with CRE concentrations that are doing just fine. So the type of CRE loan is a determining factor. Still, banks and credit unions are warning of an uncertain year ahead. We've got higher loan loss provisions across the board, lower loan demand, higher charge-offs, and higher non-performing loans. So 2024 is shaping up to be a year of intense focus on driving efficiencies and a continuing shift in revenue fundamentals. So watch this spot for the impact of unrealized losses, because those are going to present challenges for quite a number of financial institutions as we move through the year. The second headline I'm paying extra attention to right now is all the regulatory talk around the Bank Merger Act, and specifically its revisions being designed to protect communities. The bottom line here is that the financial services industry is looking for scale and wanting more M&A, and the regulators are saying not so fast. So there's intense scrutiny of deals, certainly in the wake of Silicon Valley Bank and New York Community Bank troubles. And this means that deals are taking a lot longer to close. This is slowing down strategy and innovation at a time when speed really is of the essence. Regulators are looking really carefully at bond portfolios, unrealized losses, and also credit quality forecasts. And on top of that, we're in an election year and the wait and see strategy seems to be setting in across the board. Financial institutions are still going to need scale and M&A is going to remain a target, but it has to go hand in glove with pursuing internal scale. What do I mean by that? Banks and credit unions and fintechs, they have to deepen the relationships they have with existing customers and members. They have to attract new ones. They have to develop new revenue streams, all in a bid to boost and expand their revenue models beyond what financial institutions are really ready to do today. So growth is important both internally and looking externally. Now, as an example of the slowdown in M&A deal velocity, at number three, $38 billion Prosperity Bank shares out of Houston, Texas, finally completed their acquisition of $1.3 billion Lone Star State Bank. They're based in Lubbock, Texas. This is all part of Prosperity's expansion into West Texas. The deal was announced in October 22. This is Prosperity's first acquisition since 2019. The deal just now got done. It's 1 year after it was expected to close. Now, operational integration and conversions are currently scheduled for October 2024. Here's an important point. With M&A approvals moving at a snail's pace in our industry, it's more important than ever that integration and conversions are on time and go smoothly. At number four, there is a brand new survey out on small and mid-sized business optimism. And in some good news for the economy, it is trending up. Citizens Financial surveyed 530 decision makers at small and mid-market businesses, and they expect to add employees in 2024. In fact, 40% of the small and mid-sized businesses are hiring more people in 2024 than they did in 2023. And this certainly helps explain some of the job market momentum that's remained high and kept the Fed from lowering interest rates so far this year. And they had been expected to do that a few months ago. It also helps explain how financial institutions have avoided really sharp declines in small and mid-sized business credit quality. Now, it's not all good news from small and mid-sized businesses. The National Federation of Independent Businesses is reporting the lowest level of optimism from business owners in 11 years. And why is that? The reason given most often is rising costs. The fifth headline in April that I want to dig into just a little bit is the news that FedNow, the Federal Reserve's instant payments network, is gaining traction after a slow start when it launched in the summer of 2023. It now has more than 600 bank and credit union members, and the projections are that 1,500 financial institutions will have joined FedNow by the end of 2024 as financial institutions build out their risk and fraud management fluency and also their systems to address some of the unique aspects of a real-time payment system. Now, on the plus side, FedNow is compelling to banks and credit unions because it's relatively easy and cost-effective to stand up. With limited resources of both the human and budgetary variety, this matters quite a lot. But that said, banks and credit unions should carefully evaluate the impacts on interchange income in cases where payments are converted from credit and debit cards to FedNow transactions. Interchange income is under threat from so many directions, and any FedNow-related impact really needs to be part of the business case. Switching gears to what's happening in artificial intelligence, in April 2024, and it is a lot. At number six, Discover has deployed generative AI in its contact center. They're using Vertex AI from Google Cloud, and their use case is summarizing policies and procedures for contact center agents to quickly access information that they need to answer customer inquiries. So imagine all the times you've called into a contact center, you've been on a call longer than you ever wanted to be, maybe you got put on hold so the agent could research the matter, maybe you got transferred to another agent who was more specialized in the particular situation you needed to have resolved. I'm sure this all sounds familiar. Well, artificial intelligence is beginning to deliver some big results to financial institutions in optimizing their contact centers and in so doing, taking better care of their customers. Discover's not alone. We have Synovus, First Horizon, Ally, KeyBank, Magnify Financial on the credit union side, and many more banks and credit unions that are either in testing or live with artificial intelligence capabilities in the contact center. The majority of these initiatives are bringing efficiency to the work of the contact center agents so they can better serve their customers and their members. And this approach is perceived as the best way to learn about AI and solve specific problems that lead to real results within the bank or the credit union before rolling out AI-powered service directly to customers. Now, the Swedish buy now, pay later company Klarna features in the seventh headline I'm highlighting here, and they are going directly to their customers with a generative AI chatbot, setting a really different tone in how aggressively they are pursuing the full potential of AI to improve service and reduce costs. Now, Klarna says that their AI chatbot is doing the work of 700 customer service agents and that they don't plan on hiring any more staff outside of their engineering department. That's, of course, where they're fueling their innovation strategy. That's where they see their investments in human resources to be strategic. In 1 month, Klarna says their AI chatbot has performed 2.3 million conversations. That's equal to 66% of their customer service engagements. Customer satisfaction is reported to be on par with interactions with human engagements. And in a really telling sign, Klarna is also reporting that the AI chatbot is achieving a 25% reduction in repeat inquiries, and that signals greater accuracy. So this use case is certainly a spot to watch because banks and credit unions are in the process of learning more about generative AI and getting some internally facing use cases under their belt at the moment. In the future, looking outside, looking to those customer facing use cases. My eighth headline shows that AI chatbots can be put to work internally and can be a great way to find some much needed efficiencies and process improvements and still get that experience with the capability before it goes out to the customer or the member. Dallas-based Comerica is doing just this, and they're sharing their experience with their AI chatbot that's supporting their IT help desk. Comerica is working with Moveworks, and their chatbot replaces manual tasks. For example, equipment requests, IT troubleshooting. You've been in those situations where that is a tedious process. Well, artificial intelligence makes that easier. Comerica says the AI chatbot is doing the work of six full-time IT help desk agents. Those are big efficiency gains. That's also really valuable experience with an AI chatbot implementation. Again, that's not customer facing and therefore lower risk. I really like this approach. Staying on the topic of AI, as promised, at number 9, there is a new study out by American Banker. It's called Unleashing the Power of AI in Banking, and it's based on a survey of 127 bankers. And this is an average bank size of $81 billion, mostly senior management. This study is full of great insights on how bankers perceive AI, its risks, and also its possibilities. One of the survey results in particular caught my attention. There was a question: how do you expect AI might hurt your business? 70% of respondents said loss of personal touch with customers and clients. Now, I would argue that financial institutions have already, in so many respects, lost the personal touch with their customers after nearly 2 decades of digital channels rollouts that have been commoditized and largely impersonal. Human-to-human interactions have declined, and even though digital experiences have gotten better over the years, they're cleaner, they're simpler, they're more flawless, you can do more digitally, they make a lot of different new kinds of payments, so there has been this forward movement, but the service is pretty much the same for everyone. Every customer has the same experience. Artificial intelligence has the potential to actually personalize the digital experience, tailor products and pricing to your specific needs and wants, build trust digitally, and even tailor the experience that you have when you log into the mobile device. You may see your 401k first, and I might see my checking accounts based on the activity that I routinely perform with my financial institution. Show me what's most important to me first, please. Ironic but true, artificial intelligence, if deployed correctly, can actually humanize banking. Now, rounding out the top 10, credit unions are making big inroads in using artificial intelligence for loan approvals. I want to mention an example. ORNL, Federal Credit Union, there's $3.7 billion based in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. They're working with Zest AI to make loans available to more underserved members while managing their risk effectively. There are two Zest AI offerings in play here. One is the lending intelligence conversational bot called Lulu. This was just released in February of 2024, and it allows users to ask questions. So, for example, about how their financial institution's loan portfolio is performing compared to peers. And the other solution, Zest AI's underwriting models, that should increase loan approvals for underserved members. And that's being used by quite a large number of financial institutions at this point. Among many other credit unions that are active in using AI in lending, Del One Federal Credit Union, Suncoast Credit Union, Verity Credit Union, they're all making strides in AI-powered lending. Now, keep in mind that the vendor landscape that banks and credit unions can rely on for technology innovation is expanding by the day, and we now have a whole new stable of financial services technology vendors that are AI specialized that banks and credit unions really have to get to know, and they have to evaluate them ahead of their vendor selections. How these vendors engage with their core systems, with digital providers, how they interact to provide value for the banks, credit unions, and fintechs, that's going to be a critical success factor going forward. So that's it for me for this month. Thanks for listening in to this episode of FinTech Unleashed 10 and 10. I'll be back with you next month for another look at the headlines that matter most in the financial services industry. Have a great rest of your day, everyone.